Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. You don't have to say it back. Please don't. You know, I really struggled all through this week. We had a pastoral meeting down at Concordia Seminary, and I was driving with Pastor Mark Wiesner down to St. Louis, and he said to me, "You know, I haven't even started on Sunday." And I said, "I know exactly what you mean. It's, you know, it's just, it's Mother's Day, and, you know, it's the fifth Sunday after Easter. And what are you going to preach on?" And, you know, there's always a debate amongst pastors, you know, tons of debates about whole different kinds of things. And there's always been a debate about whether or not we should celebrate those civil events like Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever comes up on the calendar. And, you know, some people say, no, our focus shouldn't be on, you know, honoring moms. And you know, sometimes it seems like we're basically honoring moms, and on Father's Day we're telling them to get their act together. So it doesn't hardly seem fair, does it? And so it really has been a struggle. And I don't know, just somewhere in that week, as I was pondering which direction to go, Easter 5, Mother's Day, which is what I do every single year, you know, I just thought, there's a fourth commandment that says, honor your father and your mother. That's not a civil holiday. That's something that God has instructed his people. Honor moms, honor fathers. You know, a junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire class. And the next day he gave his students a quiz. And the first question was read like this: "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" Half of the kids in the class wrote, "Mother." But is that the way we honor mothers, really, as someone who's there to pick things up after us? I don't think that's what God had in mind. Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth." No one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's mom. A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient. He said, "Let's see. You spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. I think I see your problem." Can you relate? It seems like when we get a beat in our heart to do something really nice for our moms, a way of honoring them, it doesn't always turn out right. Have you noticed that? James Dobson, a famous clinical Christian psychologist, tells a story of a mother who was sick in bed. She had the flu, and she had a lovely little daughter who just wanted to serve her mom, and she wanted to be a good nurse. And so she brought her mom an extra pillow, and she brought her a magazine to read. And then, to her surprise, her mom's surprise, she brought a little cup of tea in a saucer, and her mother took a sip of the tea and said, "Wow, I didn't even know you knew how to make tea." And the little girl said, "Oh, yes, I learned by watching you. I put some water in the pot, and then I put tea leaves in it. I boiled the water, and then I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used a fly swatter instead." And her mother said, "You what?" And the little girl said, "Oh, Mom, don't worry. I didn't use the new fly swatter. I used the old one. Think about it. There is something special about godly moms that make them worthy of honor. They don't necessarily come from places of affluence or social significance. Many times they're just ordinary people who worship an extraordinary God. Because of the Lord's influence on their lives, their influence upon this world is often worthy of historical record. One particular woman comes to mind. Her family had to move out of Israel to a foreign country because of a famine. While they were there, her sons married. But in time, her husband and her sons died, and she decided it was time to return to her home in Bethlehem. That godly home, I'm sure you've already figured out, was Naomi. And she was so dedicated to God that her daughter-in-law, Ruth, decided she wanted that life for herself as well. Ruth was so impressed by the dedication of Naomi's life to God that she told Naomi, "Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." And from that day forward, Ruth turned her back on the life she used to live. Because of Naomi's influence, Ruth built a God-rated home. And Ruth's love for God was so powerful that her great-grandson became one of the most influential men of the Old Testament. Yes, King David. Ultimately, Ruth, the Moabite, was honored by being mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Boy, that's high praise. All this took place because one woman, Naomi, built her life around her dedication to God. Often, we're simply focused on the influence we have right here and right now on our children, maybe our grandchildren. But the life of a man or woman who give themselves totally for God, to God, can live on from generation to generation, as it has for Naomi and for Ruth. Then there's another woman in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, another great example. You probably will be insulted by this, but really there was nothing special to her as far as the world was concerned. She was living out her life in a little town, and she was engaged to a carpenter. The town she was from was less significant in the world's eyes. And yet God looked with favor upon this young virgin and made her the mother of God. What an honor. She saw herself as a simple handmaiden of the Lord, and yet even today the name of Mary is revered and honored. Well, let me ask you, what exactly did she do? When she was told by angels of the Holy Spirit's coming upon her and from her seed would come the Messiah, she simply said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." There's no doubt in my mind that Mary was a loving mother. And I wonder how difficult it was for her to watch her innocent son being crucified. We don't have any actual pictures of the crucifixion and that whole scene. And the best we have is what art offers us. And yet, if we were to see the real pictures, I think it would almost be impossible to look at. I think I had a couple of pictures there in the slides. We see a picture of Mary turning away from her son's crucifixion because it's just too hard to watch. another picture. The sun being covered up, the darkness that overcame. And then there's a picture of Mary. You know, remember in the beginning of Luke, it said, and you know, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. I think she was a ponderer her entire life and then beyond. She pondered the great things that God had done for her through her son Jesus. You know, in the beginning of the text, that I read from Ephesians, it said that it may go well with you and you live long on the earth. And yet that promise for Jesus was taken away. He didn't live a long life. And yet we realize, and she understood eventually, that what he had to do was to suffer, that he had to die for the sins that we had placed upon his shoulders. Ponder that for a moment. When we get to that final hour of Jesus' life, yes, Mary was, I'm sure, pondering what was going on here. And yet it was Jesus who also was pondering all that his mother meant to him while dying on that cross. He looks down upon his mother and he sees John and he says, John, this is your mother. Mary, this is your son. And God replaced himself. Jesus replaced himself with Jesus and gave Mary someone to care for and nurture and carry on her motherly tradition for which she was so honored. You know, I'm sure that as we think about our own moms, we see their frailties, we see their sins, their imperfections. But you also know that Scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. We too must look at our mothers as Jesus did and give them the honor that God demands. And may it go well with us that we may live long on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.